Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely receive, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, September 13th. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Brother. How are you?
Oh, abundantly blessed. We are doing well. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Greetings and blessings from Oklahoma.
Well, Ralph, we'll turn it over to you and we'll be here with your callers.
All right, well, thank you, Richard. Well, here we are, another Wednesday. They just seem to sneak up on us.
They sure go fast. But it's high adventure, and it's very fulfilling. Every week is pumped full of action and excitement of seeing the power of the Holy Spirit move. I just praise God over and over that somebody shared all this with me. I would have missed it. I even had a deliverance today, this afternoon, and a woman actually had been to the ministry, say, once before, but needed a little fine-tuning, and then she got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues, as she had not received that before, the tongues, and she did today. So many people seems make it harder than it really is, and that was kind of her case, and that's always exciting. But we had 19 cases Monday night. It was a full Monday. Heavy action. It's very rare to have an outcry, but we had one Monday night. You know, with the 19 cases, there was one lady that the minister, her name is Sharon, Sharon, she was ministering to her, and the demons manifested, and they started, they were doing outcries, screaming and all that, which is rather quite rare around our shop, around our ministry. It does happen, though, and that was one of the cases. And finally, after some struggling with the spirit trying to cast it out, it was finally figured out that she was still carrying unforgiveness, and that is so common. And when the team asked, who do you still need to forgive, she said, herself. Well, when they finally got her to forgive herself, then they were easily able to cast the spirits out. And that just is a lesson again for all of us, how critical and how important the forgiving is. As Jesus said in the King James in Matthew 18:34 and 35, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And we see it over and over and over. And we should have picked up on that particular situation earlier, but none of us have this down to a perfect science. And so when they did, though, then they were able to dislodge the spirits easily. So same deal, Ralph. I know you see it. We all see the same thing constantly and have through these years, how important it is to forgive.
It is, and the entire Bible has a theme of forgiveness all the way through it.
Yes.
I mean, it's just such an important part of Christianity, is the basics to forgive. And forgiving does not mean that the person is not held accountable for whatever they did. Forgiving is there to release the person from the burden of having to carry that. And I think that, I know that I didn't really understand the true meaning of forgiveness until a few years ago, and understanding, because when we really sit back and think about all the things that we have done to our Lord through the years and what He forgave us for, and what that our Lord went to the cross and bore not only my sins, but Pastor Everett's sins, Richard's sins, every sin that was ever out there and every sin that will be committed and was committed. And He forgave that for those who His blood was shed as sacrifice for it, and it's forgiven. And then the Lord says it's forgiven, it's forgotten. And that should be the same with us. We should forgive it and let it be forgotten. And I still had the Lord bring things up to me from time to time, and I'll think, well, you know, I never forgave that person. I'll just say, Lord, forgive that person, bless that person. Because I understand what the tormentors and tortures are now, and I do not want them ever back in my life.
Yeah.
So, folks out there, forgiveness is
the tormentors.
Is you.
The tormentors are about three dozen of these evil spirits that people carry. We've seen that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not fun, and we're hurting no one but ourselves. And I try to teach that on Monday nights to get it across the best I can, and that, you know, it doesn't mean the person deserved to be forgiven, but God seems to, since we were forgiven when we didn't deserve it, He expects us to do the same. And when we don't, there we go. Turn to the tormentors.
That's right. And as I think about everything on this side of the cross, you know, our Bible reading plan right now has us in the book of Numbers, and I'm sitting there reading, and you can't come before the Lord unless you do this first. You can't come before the Lord unless you do this first. You can't do that, and only so many could and so many can't. And I'm so thankful that the blood of Jesus just completely took care of all that all we need to do today now is to confess, believe, repent, be baptized, and we have complete access. We have access to the entire, we have more access than the entire Levitical priesthood had. And with that access, the power that's there through the Holy Spirit, we can take this and go out and set people free. We can cast out demons. We can heal the sick. Praise God, even the dead gets raised. You hear about those stories from time to time. And even be able to command against storms if need be. And I saw an article where a group of Christians got together and even prayed against the storm outside Jacksonville. And I never saw the results of what happened with Jacksonville. But I have faith to believe that it would have been a whole lot worse if those Christians did not get together and pray against that storm.
Yes, yeah, so you hear those supernatural stories quite often about how people have turned the storms and all, and people have done that on tornadoes here in this area in Oklahoma. When a friend of mine named Tom Massey, it was one of the biggest tornadoes we've had. I think it was in 01, but it was coming through in the Midwest City area where he lived, and he saw it coming. And he rebuked it and commanded it to turn, and it did.
So Lord,
that's a very personal experience that he had. Ask him about it, you know. And my wife did that one time with one that was, looked like it was coming at us. And she was watching out the window, and it turned. So we all have more power, I'm convinced, than we thought. And we sell ourselves way too short on what we really can do by speaking in his name. The power goes forth in Jesus' name, praise God.
It does. And I had a friend call me the other day, and it was actually my brother's fiance, and she called me up wanting me to get over and lay hands on my brother. And I was out of town. And she said, "Well, I'm scared. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it." So I took her through some scriptures, and I read those scriptures, and I said, "You have all power." Took her to Luke 10:19. Took her to Mark 16:16. And I said, "Now you're a Christian." And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Now quit wishy-washy. Quit him hon. Now lay their hands on his hips, because he had a rolled hip." And command that hip to line up in the name of Jesus. And I went over about 2 or 3 days later to visit my brother, and she came to me just all excited. It's all excited. "I did what you said, Ralph, and it worked. It worked. He was no longer in pain. He wasn't that." And it was a great testimony for her to see that there isn't really any special training. You just have to have confidence and boldness, because that as a Christian, she's a Christian, a child of Christ, she is given that authority, just as much authority as Ralph or Pastor Cox here has, or anybody that even when they come in and on the Wednesday night prayer chain meeting, there's nothing any more special about the men who do that than the rest, because we're all Christians, and Christians
That's
have
it.
Given that authority right there. And it's just a matter of walking in that authority, exercising it, and taking command over the situation. So that was just a great little testimony. I just remember yesterday she sent it to me. I think it was yesterday or Sunday, but she was like so excited that it worked. And I said, "Well,
that's awesome.
Just remember that, and the next time he has any kind of back or hip problem or something like that, just lay your hands on it and command it to happen again."
Yeah. Today, the lady I ministered to, at the end, of course, I always pray for healing and take authority there on any spirits of infirmity and all, but she had a cartilage in her knee problem, and fact is, when she go to Walmart, she had to always ride in one of those little motor things to shop, and she couldn't walk very far, and so as we went through praying and commanding healing and new cartilages into existence, and also doing the limb check that you were talking about. I just did all that, including praying over the brain stem, which often, and when they're squeezing there, that can cause other weird things to happen in the body. And after we finished praying, well, she walked around and didn't have any pain, and she said her knees felt different. And I just had her keep walking around the office. She says, "I haven't walked this far in a long time." And so that was just a few hours ago, so I'm anxious to follow up. She's the mother of one of our people that's in the training, so I'll be seeing him and getting reports regularly as he comes on the Monday nights.
Well, praise the Lord. Pastor, we have our first caller on the line. Mark, are you there?
Mark, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Everett.
Yeah, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. Ralph,
good evening to you.
Ralph is on. Yeah, good evening. Ralph is on here with me, and he's up in Missouri. And of course, I'm here in Oklahoma, and you're in Oklahoma. So thank you for calling. We were talking about baptisms of the Holy Spirit earlier, and I know you've had quite a bit of experience in that that arena. In fact, the lady I ministered to at the office today received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and really a wonderful prayer language. She tried over the years. She's 67 years old, and she said she tried through the years to get it, and she got it today. So many people make it so hard. Maybe you could share about what you've seen in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then also about deliverance, Mark, and maybe how you first heard about all this. Go ahead, Mark. Hello?
Did we lose him?
I don't know. Mr. Mark, are you still there? Well, the light's on the phone.
Well,
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe you had a bad connection. There's live radio for you, folks.
Maybe he'll call back in a minute.
Yes, maybe he'll call back.
Mark has been the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's and is now a chapter here in Oklahoma City, and has had a lot of experience in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and of course has been around deliverance for many years. So I was anxious to hear him share.
Well, while we're waiting on there, I guess I could share my experience with it. I can tell you that I've read the Bible for many years. Saw that there was that speaking in tongues was in Scripture. Never doubted it was there. I just figured that it was something that was never going to come upon me, or I didn't understand it. I had witnessed it on several occasions, and when it happened with me, a pastor took me through the prayer. He laid his hands on me. And it wasn't a matter of having that a few words stammer out. It was a full language just flowed out of me. And I've witnessed that with some people. I've witnessed it with some people where nothing happens. So not that I've got any grasp on it or full understanding of it, but it's definitely a tool that's given to us by God to communicate with Him and to communicate with us. So
what changes did
Mark,
you see?
Yeah.
Oh, is he back?
What changes? Yeah, I believe we have Mark back on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Everett.
Great. Hi, Mark.
Sorry we lost our connection, but can I go ahead and share what I was starting to share when it got cut off?
You bet, about deliverance and how you heard about it.
Right.
The baptism.
Anyway, our grandson committed suicide, and it was a real shock to everyone, and there was a real heavy grief in our family, and a real heaviness, and obviously it was a real struggle, and from what we know about what happened, there was a DVD or something on the internet going around about demons and about committing suicide, and it was actually, I heard about it over one of our local Oklahoma City television stations, that one of the principals at one of the high schools in Edmond had been made aware of this, and some quite a few suicides had come up recently as a result of that DVD going around about kind of glorifying committing suicide. And we don't know whether it had a direct impact on our grandson or not, but we just knew it was a very difficult time for our family. And one of the things that my wife and I talked about is, you know, because of the heaviness that we felt, and particularly she and her daughter who lost her son felt, that we wanted to submit ourselves to the Lord and to not lose our joy over the long term, regardless of what happens in our life. And so we thought it would be a wise decision for us just to submit ourselves to the Lord and to see if there was any issues in our lives that we needed to deal with from a spiritual point of view, demons or whatever the case may be. And we were aware of your ministry over the years and the success of your ministry. And so we just decided one of the things we do to try to get free from the heaviness and the grief would be just to come and submit ourselves to deliverance in our own lives. And that way we could probably feel better ourselves and also be in a better position to minister to the others in our family. So we came and we really enjoyed it. It was a wonderful experience for us. It was a non-threatening atmosphere. We came in and it was very peaceful. And you kind of shared your testimony about what God had done in your life and about getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and your experience in deliverance ministry. And it was reassuring in that sense. And then we broke up into with individual counselors, and they began to minister to us. And basically, my understanding was it was just praying over us from a scriptural perspective, prayers based on God's word to pray deliverance over our lives and to cast any demons out in various areas. And it was a very comprehensive ministry, but yet it was such a blessing. And I know for me, I had the privilege to go to Rhema Bible Training Center back in 1989 and 90, and have had some experiences and have read books and about some pretty wild things going on in regard to deliverance. I know I read a book one time by Lester Summerall called Unprovoked Murder, and he was talking about when he ministered over in Africa to some prisoners, and he was in a cell with some prisoners and was ministering to them, and he actually saw bite marks begin to appear on the arms of some of the prisoners, you know, that were actually spirits that were tormenting them. And you know, that's kind of wild and a little scary for some people, would be for me too, but it's the reality of spirits, whether they manifest themselves in a visual way or kind of in a something that might concern people, or whether it's just a quiet thing that torments people a little bit at a time. I know in my experience of going to Rhema Bible Training Center and watching Kenneth Hagin minister to healing lines, he would tell us that when he prayed for people in healing lines, that many times he would just go along and pray for them based on God's word. But from time to time, he would see a spirit in his spirit. He would see a spirit, and the Lord would reveal to him what that spirit was and how it was affecting that person, and he was able to cast that demon out of that person. And in those cases, the person nearly always got instant healing, but that wasn't normal. Most people just receive their healing over a period of time and a gradual healing. So that's another aspect of deliverance that I had some experience with, and that was helped me to understand better how God works through healing. Sometimes it's instantaneous. Sometimes it involves demons. Sometimes it doesn't. But it's good to understand what the Word says and how to minister, and how those that have been the trailblazers and gone before us have ministered and helped us to have a better understanding of deliverance
Lester
and
Summerall.
Demons. I know for me personally, another aspect of demons is just the authority that we have as believers. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I've given unto you," and I put my name in there. I put, "Behold, Jesus has given unto Mark Woods power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me." And also in Deuteronomy 28:7 says, "Thine enemies that have risen up against me shall be smitten before my face. They'll come out against me one way and flee before me seven ways." And so I've memorized some scriptures related to the authority that I have in Christ and in overcoming Satan and demons and binding and loosing spirits. And it's served me well in my life, and that's the way I pray and over myself and over my family and people that come to me for help. But quite honestly, sometimes it's just good to have other people to minister to us when we're going through a difficult time. And that's kind of where we were when we came to your ministry on Monday night. And again, for me personally, it was just a wonderful time to have be prayed over, to sense God's peace and blessing. I did sense some manifestations that were rather minor in nature, of some things, some spirits that possibly coming out of me. I'm not sure. I felt some sensations, but nothing dramatic or nothing that I recognized as being like an experience like when Jesus cast demons out of people. So it wasn't an experience that was fearful in any way. But after I had gone and you had prayed for me for over the different prayers based on God's word over probably an hour and a half, I felt the real peace. And the next day I felt a blessing on my life that I didn't have before, just a freedom and a peace and a cleansing in my spirit. And I know for my wife, she was struggling a little more than I was over the suicide, because she'd been a part of our grandson's life for quite a few more years than I had. And she sensed an incredible blessing as a result of coming, and she'll have a chance to share another time. But she went through the same deliverance, and it was, I could just tell, a special change in her life. There was more joy and happiness in her life. She had peace, and the heaviness was gone. And so I would just say, for people who might consider coming to receive ministry through deliverance, to not be fearful, that it's not a fearful experience. If you haven't been feeling anything or sensing any spirits in your life, it may not be anything that will be anything other than what I experienced, but I believe it will be a great blessing to you from whatever perspective you come with, whether you're experiencing manifestations of demons or just submitting yourself to the Lord and saying, Lord, if there's any adjustments I need to make or any demons that are influencing in my life, I would like to make some adjustments and have those spirits cast out of me and walk closer with you and get rid of those demons.
And Mark, the average case is kind of like you, what you experienced. Most people, it's not a big deal. It's a low key. Quite a few people yawn now and then, cough or burp, but then some don't have any of that happen. They may feel something depart. And then there's some that we minister to that never feel a thing the whole evening. You don't have to feel anything to get free from spirits, we found. The word will perform itself. And then there's some people that just are not prone to feel them in that way in the spirit world. And yet the spirits depart as a Christian commands them to go, since, as you quoted, Luke 10:19, we have power over all the enemy and the promise that nothing will harm us. So that's typical. But we do have outcries from time to time. In fact, we had one this last Monday. We go so many Mondays, there's never anything heard that's out loud. But we did have one this last Monday. In fact, the caller that's coming on just a few minutes will probably share, because she was in the middle of that deliverance, and we'll talk some about it. But what's interesting, Mark's wife, she actually was one of my employees, or Shirley, I mean. Shirley was one of my employees when I was a mortgage banker, and so here we are, from the mortgage business to the deliverance world. How about that, Mark?
Right. Yeah, it's a small world. But it's great how God brings his people together to encourage one another and to minister to each other. We all have different gifts and abilities that God gives us, and it's one of the greatest blessings of our lives to understand what the callings are on our lives and to use the gifts and talents that God's given us for his glory. And there's nothing greater than to be used of the Lord to be a blessing to others.
I certainly had no idea that I would be a minister in this kind of ministry. I never sat down, put it on paper to do it. It just started happening, you know. Well, Mark, as the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's, you've had some experiences along there, especially in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you seen quite a few people receive that?
Yes, I have. It was somewhat elusive to me for many years in my life. I grew up in a denominational church that didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then when I finally got over into a church that where people had received the baptism of the Spirit and spoke in other tongues, well, it took me a while to get a grasp of it, and I struggled a little bit with it and was a little confused about it, as some people are, but when I was determined to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, it's something I desired, so I stayed with it, and quite honestly, I had a man and his wife who were friends of mine, and they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were spiritual mentors to me, and I saw what a difference it made in their lives to be Spirit-filled Christians, and I wanted that, and so I continued to seek the Lord about it, and I just continued to pray in the Spirit, whether I felt anything or not, and after I began to do that consistently, I felt an empowerment within my physical body, like that you charged up electric, like you were electrically charged up like a battery, only in a spiritual sense. And I just felt empowered and strengthened. And I know in life, when you struggle and you're going through the most difficult times of your life, Satan attacks your body, and he attacks your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the greatest thing I can do when I'm struggling and under attack is to pray in the Spirit. And by that I mean praying in tongues. And when I do that, get off by myself and pray in tongues, it shuts down my mind and my body and makes me spirit conscious. And I'm able to focus on the Lord and sense His presence, and it just enables me to find peace in the midst of difficult issues in life. And oftentimes, not only when I'm going through difficult times, but when I'm seeking the Lord's wisdom about something in my life, in the natural, there's no common sense isn't going to give you the answer, and you need the Lord to give you wisdom, and His Word says that He will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, and the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you'll know the hope of His calling for that season in your life. And so oftentimes when I pray in the Spirit and get quiet before the Lord, He'll reveal things to me or speak to me and show me and tell me things that are the answers that I need to those things that I, in the natural or in the common sense, there's not a logical answer, but He has an answer for everything. And so those are a couple of things that really helped me through praying in the Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit that have been life-changing experiences that I've grown in over my lifetime and have been a great blessing to me, is just to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and sense His presence, and to also to receive His revelation as to His wisdom for my life.
And Mark, that's the same thing in my life. In fact, as I often say, had I not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues on June 17th of 1978, we would not be on the radio here tonight. I wouldn't have formed Deliverance Ministries in 1984. And that's what all that led to. I wouldn't be doing it had I not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know that. Because I never said anything about Jesus. I was very timid. And after that experience, I had a boldness, which is exactly what it says in Acts 1:8, that you'll receive a power to witness. I had a boldness that I had never had before. And, of course, all that ultimately led to Deliverance Ministries, and involved in that. So Anybody needs that, I think, to see the empowerment that they need to get about the Father's business and to do and to use their God-given gifts and to do their destinies. Well, thank you, Mark, for sharing all that. Praise God.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
It's such a blessing. And I think by being baptized in the Holy Spirit just helps us understand better what our gifts and callings are. They become clearer to us, and the Lord's leading as He prompts us to operate in the gifts that He's put within us and the ways that He wants us to minister. It's just clearer when you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you can pray in the Spirit and become empowered and get your mind minimized and your flesh minimized and your spirit enlightened. It just enables you to more effectively walk with the Lord and minister with the Lord. And I know for a lot of people, if you said, I can tell you how to understand and walk in the perfect will of God for your life, would you like to know how to do that? And I think most everybody would say, yeah, please tell me how to know God's perfect will for my life and to walk in it. In the 12th chapter of Romans, you know, Paul's speaking and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is only reasonable in light of what Jesus did for us. And it goes on to say, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. And that's the key. And then in that same chapter, it goes on and talks about the various gifts that God gives different believers. And I know for me, I learned that my gifts are to encourage people or be an exhorter and to be a giver financially to help ministries. And so I've learned over time how to for God wants to use me in those two areas in particular. And as I've done that, well, He's given me favor and blessing in my life to be a giver and to be an encourager. And it is God's perfect will for my life to walk in those two gifts and to have His anointing and favor in my life to do those two ministries in particular. And so I would encourage everyone to take a look at the 12th chapter of Romans and what Paul's talking about there. And if you want to have more of God's perfect will for your life and to prove what it is as you walk out your life, well, take a look at the gifts that he talks about in that 12th chapter and ask the Lord to show you what those gifts are. And through the Holy Spirit, he'll lead and guide you and give you a special anointing and favor.
Now, that's
to
good,
walk
Mark.
In those gifts and to be a blessing to people, and you'll be blessed as you do it. Thank you for sharing that. And Mark, I think we have our other caller on the line. So
we do. Yeah, I didn't want to cut him off because he was giving some good testimony.
Yeah, that was excellent. Thank you for sharing.
Well, Mark, do appreciate you coming on this evening and joining us. Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for those words of encouragement right out of the Scripture for us. Have yourself a good evening.
You're a blessing. You're a blessing, brother. Talk to you later.
Heather, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Heather. Yeah, so glad you called in. And Heather's fairly new in all this, but she's right in the middle of it, I'd have to say. And she's going through our training, and her husband as well, on Monday nights, going through the training to learn how to be a team leader. And, well, why don't you share, Heather, on how you first learned about this works of Jesus called deliverance, and then any experiences you're comfortable in sharing.
Sure. I learned about deliverance through my husband. He had been through deliverance ministry before I had met him. And then once we got together and we were married, we were both going through some things, and he it's basically said, you might think I'm going to sound really crazy to mention this, but I think I know somebody that can help both of us, and I think we should go talk to him. And so we did, and we both got ministered to, and it was an absolute change in my life, for sure, and I know that he also felt a lot of change. And so then we thought, you know, we really need to investigate this further, and we found out about the Deliverance Ministry in Oklahoma City and that we need to come be a part of this, we need to get trained, we need to learn how to do this. So we've been coming. And then it's just been a great blessing in both of our lives. Absolutely.
Well, when you went through Deliverance, Heather, are you comfortable in sharing what went on? Did you feel anything moving in your body, or how did it go? It varies with everyone, but what was your...
I didn't really have any... I yawned several times, and so I feel like that was the, you know, the spirits leaving.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any other manifestations necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no, like, physical feeling or anything else. It was just yawn.
That's the most common, yawning, of course, and we see more of that than anything, and is an indication. Sometimes people yawn a whole lot through the ministry, and I sometimes say to them, do you normally sit around and yawn like this? And they say, well,
mm-hmm.
No, I don't do that. So what has been the most exciting things to learn as you've gotten into this? A lot of the listeners are not real familiar with this works of Jesus that he told us to do in Mark 16:17. And so could you share just what all you're learning and what else have you been seeing?
I think one of the greatest things I've learned so far is that there's nothing, you don't have to be anybody special. I mean, God gave the authority to any believer. And so the fact that we have the power over the enemy, that was a revelation to me. And so I think that's something that all people, you know, should take away from this. And also that it's liberating. It's absolutely life-changing. It's nothing scary. It's nothing, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's absolutely what God, you know, he wants you to live life abundantly and to be free of all of these things. And so I was sitting in with a case on Monday night, so I'm just a trainee, so I wasn't, you know, leading the ministry, but I was just there observing. And there was a woman that had come in, and she had basically just lost all hope. She was having suicidal thoughts. She'd had medical issues. She'd just gone through a divorce, and she was almost, you know, to the point of giving up. And she had even been to Deliverance before in the past. And so we asked her, you know, how did your closing prayer go? And she was like, oh, that went well. You know, things, I think I just, the biggest thing is that I need to forgive my husband or the ex-husband, you know, because she'd just been through the divorce. And so we went through the breaking the soul ties and all of that went well. And Holy Spirit had even brought up other people from her past that, you know, she hadn't thought about in years. And she was like, yeah, I need to forgive that person. So we went through all of those things. And then we got to the point where we did the inner healing, and she had never gone through that before. And she was like, man, do we really have to do this? You know, she's like, this is hard. But we got through all of those parts, and then we got to the part, you know, where you work the sheet, where you're calling out, you know, the different spirits. And so then the minister that was leading tried the head demon technique. And so she asked the woman, you know, can you hear anything? Do you hear a response? And she's like, well, I hear some laughter, but no words. And so then the minister was like, well, let's try, you know, the prayer of repentance, you know, repent and renounce these certain spirit, you know, things. And then it was as if, like, her countenance changed. And it was almost as if the spirit had taken over her vocal cords. I mean, she was holding her throat, and it was like she was no longer looking at us. I'm sure you've heard that before. You know, her whole countenance had changed. And
yes.
So it wasn't going to let her speak, but then it started using her voice. As the minister was talking to it, you know, using the name of Jesus, it was saying no. It was crying out with her voice. It would say things like, she's mine. And so, of course, you know, it was kind of loud, and we were kind of drawing attention of other ministers that were in the room that had finished their sessions, and so they had come over to kind of, you know, back us up a little bit. So we were there, you know, surrounding this woman. We were speaking in tongues. We were praying over her. We were holding Bibles on her. And things, you know, she was still crying out. And then Richard came over, and he looked at her, like, eye to eye. And he asked her, he says, "Who do you need to forgive?" And she was able to say, "Myself." And I think that was huge.
Uh-huh.
Because it was a, you know, that was a revelation to us all that there was still unforgiveness and that forgiving yourself is one of the hardest things to do. And so she was still uh-huh. holding her throat where the spirit, you know, wasn't really letting her use her voice. And so she had, I mean, you could tell that it was an internal struggle, and it took a while, but she was able to say, "Jesus, I choose to forgive myself." And then Richard went and got the shofar, and he held that up to her back. And he, when he blew the shofar, it was as if, like, all of that was, like, blowing out through her, you know? And she was able to, like, she came back. You could tell it was her. Her countenance was back. Her eyes were looking at us again. And when it, and then she was able to speak in her own voice. And so that was awesome to see, and that really helped, you know, grow my faith. And what was even more amazing than that, she looks up, she looks at us, like all of us standing around her, like, you know, she didn't remember that many people being there. And she asked, "Was I asleep?" So it was just a really awesome experience, and I'm just so thankful that she was there.
With some people, Heather, been our experience, like on the head demon technique, that's where you would, instead of trying to communicate with all the demons within the person, find out if they've got any doors open yet or legal rights to be there. Instead, mm-hmm. you go for the head demon and get hold of the head demon and interrogate it on behalf of all those under his authority. And mm-hmm. so that's what she was doing. But of that, when the head demon is up, 90%, I find, the people can actually hear and see what's going on. It's like they're in the back somewhere. They know mm-hmm. what's going on. They hear it and they see it. But 10% of the people, I find, just like that lady did, when the demon was up, she was nowhere around. She mm-hmm. was down inside someplace, but the demon had taken over and was actually in control. And I've often wondered on those situations, you know, every now and then you hear someone say that everybody witnessed this person killing someone. No question that he did it, but yet the person, the man, says, "I don't remember doing any of that. I blacked out." And mm-hmm. I've often wondered if, you know, we run into spirits of murder right along. I even had a killer spirit up just a couple of weeks ago. And they're there to take people out, to kill and to murder. And I've wondered if maybe those are those 10% cases where the demon is actually in control and the person's not there. So, you know, it's just what we see over and over. And that was a little bit of what that lady apparently had. She wasn't there when that demon was doing all the yelling.
Right, absolutely.
So how was she when she finally left, Heather?
Oh, wow, lady. That was just such a change. Her, when she, you know, when we first saw her, she was crying. You know, her countenance was, you could see, like, the heaviness and the sadness. And when she left, she says, "I feel like I could jump." She says, "I feel so much better." She says, "I have no idea why, you know, that I've been times before and this hasn't happened, and I don't know what the breakthrough was." And we were like, "It was forgiveness. You were able to forgive yourself." And she's just like, "I just feel so free." So it was just such an amazing experience.
Praise God. And, you know, that also points out, we were talking about forgiving earlier, and how important it is that otherwise, as Jesus said, we're turned over to the tormentors, Matthew 18:34 and 35. And that's exactly what we see. She was turned to the tormentors, and she needed to forgive herself. And a lot of people have hang-ups on forgiving themselves, but you know, when you go really look it through, it's ridiculous to do that since Jesus paid the price at the cross for us and we were forgiven. It's almost like saying, well, that wasn't good enough for me, Jesus. You're going to have to go back to the cross for me. I'm not going to do it myself and forgive myself. Well, that's ridiculous, of course. And so once you explain it to people, they finally realize, well, it is ridiculous for me to not forgive myself if Jesus has. So they finally do it, and that's what she did. And she finally forgave herself, and then the demon didn't have any right to be there. The door that it came through now was not open any longer. And the team, you were able to cast those spirits on out. So great example of that, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, I can see that you and your husband are going to make quite a deliverance team, Heather. Does it seem pretty exciting in your life to be in the middle of this?
It is absolutely. It's wonderful. I'm just so excited to be part of it. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in our lives and how we can help other people experience the freedom that we've experienced. And we're just looking forward to it and, you know, excited to be part of it. And we're trying to learn, you know, more about it every day. So we're just really grateful and thankful to be a part of it.
I can see you and your husband recruiting people to come right along that you bump into.
We're telling everybody we know about deliverance.
If you took that problem list, Heather, and put it under the people's noses around us, most people would circle about 36 problem areas. That's pretty average. And they're everywhere
right
around us. And most people, most Christians, never get free of them. They just cope the best they can, but they're sure not living life abundant. So, praise God, just imagine what you and your husband and your ages, having learned this as early as you have. I was age 44 before I got into it, but as young as you all are, imagine how many lives you can touch through your lifetimes.
I hope so. God is good.
Amen. Awesome thought. Well, in parting, Heather, is there anything else you'd like to share to the listeners before we wind up here?
I just want to encourage people that I really don't know any person that couldn't benefit from deliverance ministry, and I know from my own experience that the evil spirits of the demonic realm will do everything they can to keep you from it. And so I would just want to encourage people to push through that and really, you know, fight for deliverance and really, you know, not let those negative influences or, you know, some thing that comes up keep you from getting the freedom that you were born to have and that, you know, Jesus wants you to have so you can live life abundantly.
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much, Heather. I'm excited for
Thanks.
You all. And now go forth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
The excitement. Thank you, right. Heather. Blessings to you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Heather. Great testimony.
Thanks.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well,
pretty
praise God.
This evening.
She told it, didn't she?
She did. She did it. And what's neat is in her training, she got to see a manifestation. She got to see how easy it is to handle, especially when you can figure out what the root cause is. But the main thing is it didn't get out of hand, it didn't get violent. Didn't get all these things that would probably maybe scare off somebody if they had never seen that before. So praise God for her her time in the saddle on hands training, and that's really the best thing is just to be able to get out and do that. And that's the great thing about Everett's group that they have there in Oklahoma City, that they just don't throw you out there and have you go do it, which certainly as a Christian you have that power and authority to do that. But they teach you how to walk with a system and teach you how to do those things. And you can get that training if you wanted to by going to Oklahoma City. Or you could save yourself a little money and go to the Deliverance website, deliveranceusa.com, and there's video after video of the training they give in the war room. And it's just all the prayers are there to help guide you through that stuff. And you also can get a hold of the book that Pastor has written called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which is a handbook that he's put all of the experience of the years that he's come across and put it in there and laid it out. So you can just follow the template that's in there. And obviously with that and the great teacher called the Holy Spirit, you can go forth and set the captives free.
Yes. Go forth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And Mark's testimony too is just fantastic. It is sad. It's sad that the curse is upon this nation with our youth with the committing suicides. I was mentioning to Richard through a text when he was talking that I can only remember all my years of high school. I can only remember one boy who had done that, and it seems like you hear it just about once a week now. And there's no end ifs or buts about it. Those are seducing.
And we run into spirits of suicide constantly, and I've had them manifest and talk out of the person's mouth and say the demon says it's there to take them out.
Yes.
To block their lives so they don't share Jesus. They don't use their God-given gifts and do their destinies. That's the mission of the other side. And what's irritating is they win on a certain amount of them. We never get a chance to minister to them and blow those spirits out.
Yes, and then one thing I was going to put out is if take this seriously if you hear it. Don't think, oh, it's just someone talking or whatever. These are seducing spirits lying to our youth and exercise your authority against them. And you can command those spirits to be silent. You can command them to not talk to the child and hopefully get a chance to talk to the child and the child's parents about deliverance so this does not become a hardship on their family. And because this is just a sad thing, it's upon our country and our youth, and we as men are to have the same heart as Elijah. Look, as the fathers took back the sons and the children, and have that heart for them. And so, praise God that we have that authority. And I do believe, Pastor, we are just about out of time. Is that correct, Richard?
It is.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, good evening, gentlemen.
A good evening and blessings to everybody.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Somehow, every now and then, the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died.